Halfway through January, I presented myself at Gracewater House in Knightsbridge. I hadn't heard again from Cyril, and I'd come to believe that his offer had been a drunken fantasy, the kind of thing he'd have liked to do for me if he could. In light of this, I'd been thoroughly ashamed of the letter I'd written to the Earl, name-dropping Cyril, Beauchamp, and Cousin Dulcie as instructed. However, just that morning I'd received a note from the Earl's secretary inviting me to attend after 3 in the afternoon, when his lordship would be pleased to make my acquaintance. No mention was made of the tearaway. Perhaps his wishes weren't important in the matter. I would have to see him, in the unlikely event I was offered the post, before I could tell if I could teach him, but I'd learned to take one step at a time. Just at present I was fully occupied with steps of a different kind. 7 of them, treacherous with ice, leading up from the pavement to the Earl's front door. By now I was adept at managing my stick and my satchel, and I did pretty well on the flat. Here there was no rail for me to grab, however. I could just make out a tall human shape behind the window of the vestibule, the dreaded footman, probably, watching me impassively, preparing to boot me back down to street level where I belonged. I didn't like to struggle noticeably. Keeping my head high, I stamped up the last 2 steps and gave the lion's head knocker a good thump. The glass-clouded figure vanished. Not the footman, then, unless he'd run to warn his master of my coming. I was kept waiting just long enough to arouse my resentment, never far below the surface of my pain and the pride with which I concealed it. Then the door swung wide, and I found myself faced with the Earl himself. There was no doubt as to his identity. I'd never met him before, but I must have caught him dressed for some splendid function or other. He was over 6 feet tall, his powerful physique set off by his long frock coat and the expanse of dazzling linen across his chest. A gold watch hung from one lapel, and a formidable set of decorations blazed on the other. He was one of the handsomest men I'd ever seen, and I had no idea why he was answering his own door.
"Ah!"
he cried, breaking into a smile that put the feeble winter sunlight to shame.
"There's a good fellow. You're right on time."
I hoped he knew who I was. I turned out as neatly as my pared-down wardrobe would allow, but I was sure his catering staff dressed better. "Francis Hart," I said cautiously, just in case. "You were kind enough to respond to my letter concerning the tuition of your son."
"That's right, and very good of you to attend at such short notice."
He shook my hand vigorously, then gestured me ahead of him into the hall.
"You'll think it odd that I was playing butler. African habits, I'm afraid. Once you've ridden solo across the savannah, you don't think much of opening your own front door, if you happen to be passing that way. I'm bringing my boy up on similar principles."